Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at the Meat House. With me today, Bill Mims, Craig Wright, and on the heels of a 24-0 shutout of the Raiders, you can already tell my enthusiasm level is increased quite a bit. Grab a drink, sit back, and relax, because for the next hour or so, we're going to be doing New Orleans Saints football, BS and beer style. Gentlemen, it's funny how one game can change how you feel about everything, and all of a sudden, because of the expectations I had going into the season, because of the things the Saints did last year with essentially the same personnel, I believe it. I believe what I saw. And so it makes me feel a little bit better about what the future holds. Maybe the Saints found an identity. Maybe they figured out what works for them best. Either way, I'm excited. I sent you guys a text message jokingly putting out this whole thing in context of a 9-game preseason, and it's finally good to see the team come out and really play, and so here we are. We're on a 10-game season and we're 1-0.
Oh, I only like have one thing here, Dave. I only have
hey,
one
man,
thing
that's
to
that's
say
some fanboy and, stuff right there.
I only have one thing to say in rebuttal, and that is,
let's freaking party, guys. We're winning straight.
This guy
today
has been partying, celebrating since like the third quarter yesterday, Dale.
But, yo, this is the team that we thought we were going to have in the offseason. We're going to average 30 points a game and shut people out all the time. Like, that was like without the quarterback we thought it was going to be, without the top two receivers, without our top corner, we took the number 5 total offense, stat check me if I'm wrong, and shut them down completely, like embarrassing. That was the worst offensive performance of any team in the NFL this season. We held the best running back in the league, arguably top 5 running back, to 41, 43 yards, 38 yards as a team rushing. We looked awesome. Mm-hmm. It was fun. It's a party. If you're not having fun right now, why do you even watch? Oh, yes. Really, a bad team. It's just the Raiders. All right, well, then just don't watch until we play in the playoffs, because there's nothing to be happy about if you can't enjoy something like this. We whooped the shit out of them. Do that.
All right, well, tell Craig us how you really feel there, Craig. But
I feel good. Honestly, that's how Dale, I really feel. Dave, I feel real good about it.
I can tell. And the thing about it is, it'd be different if we just barely beat them. If we would have, they missed a field goal at the end of the game, or you know what, they kicked too many field goals and didn't score enough touchdowns, or whatever. But the way we won this game leads you to believe that the Saints have found something. And listen, as much criticism I have for the Saints, I did say that at the end of the day, without probably the two key elements, well, it was more than that. Without Marshawn Lattimore and without a number two cornerback, man, you have guys off the street playing cornerback. Like, the defense, of course, it's not going to look good. All you have to do is throw the ball and convert on third down. Eventually, you're going to fold. But on the other hand, early in the season, we had games where if the defense holds up on that last possession, and they didn't. So, but listen, I just believe there were things I saw in that game that just a lot of hope.
Yes, a lot of hope indeed.
I think you're exactly right with what you said too, Dave. It's that it doesn't feel like a mirage, because we saw this last year. We saw this last couple of years. Our defense can play like this. This isn't like a bad team that just happens to be good all of a sudden, because this is what we expected. This is what they are capable of doing. It's not fool's gold, guys. We can play like this more. This is This is not an aberration. We played a good offense, and we shut them down completely. The offense keeps doing what's been doing. Andy Dalton has steered the ship exactly as Carmichael wants him to. And we, I tell you, if that game was closer, we would have scored more than 24. We took our foot off the gas the whole second half. It was an impressive performance by a team that looks like they might be figuring it out after that miniature bye week.
What are we talking about? Fourth quarter, a 9 minute, 15 play drive, and I may not be exact on that.
Oh, that's it's beautiful.
That ended up in, you know, a turnover on downs because we were like, hey, you know, you don't really want to kick a field goal in that situation.
Isn't that beautiful? I want to frame that drive and put it on the wall. We're talking about how we couldn't sustain 4 minute drives a couple weeks ago, and now we're just going to hold the ball for more than half of the quarter. Ugh.
Yeah, so, but it's how this team is built to have
and,
this.
And
this
we play good, into it. Ugh.
Yeah, it's good defensive performance, and everything else is going to just build off of that, man. So let's go to our poll question, and we wanted to know who the player of the game was, according to you guys. 83% of you guys voted for Alvin Kamara with 3 touchdowns, 16% Peyton Turner with 2 sacks, and we don't have very many for Tyrann Mathieu with 1 interception.
If he hadn't gotten run over for like a 10-yard gain in the second quarter, I'd have felt better about it. You know what I'm talking about. The only good run that Jacobs hit him and he tackled him, but he tackled him about 7 yards after he made contact.
You know, we always talk about this from different angles, but like this whole new generation of people who look at football as like a video game. But this is like a 175-pound dude. I was in there getting ran over by like a 220-pound truck running full speed. I mean, can you imagine, man? I'm 205, 207. I couldn't imagine being ran over by that guy. And so, yeah, he's a professional.
You look like a trim 150.
Huh?
You look like a trim 150. Clearly very spry.
Yeah, well, you know, I have been working out.
There you go.
But yeah, I wouldn't want to do it. But having said that, it's his job to do it, and I'm still disappointed. Like, great, we had that interception, but I want to see more from Teron, and I don't know if he really is the type of player. Like I said, I just don't like his game. I just don't like – he'd have to show up a lot more on big plays than he does for me to say, well, it's worth the trade-off. I just don't like it.
Well, he almost made you happy with that pick six at the end that he dropped.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a jump on the route, too. That was beautiful.
But my argument is this. I don't see enough of the turnover big play aspect offset the poor tackling. And even if it wasn't poor tackling, just the lack of physical tackling from a safety. So if you give me, you know, more turnovers, more big plays, more, you know, even pass defenses on third down or critical situation, I'd say, man, he gets trucked, but I'll take that every day. I don't see the other things. It's just we have 2 interceptions. He has both of them. So he has 100% of our interceptions, granted. But other than that, I'm just not seeing enough of the plays that make me offset the his lack of physical play from the safety position.
Yeah.
How many interceptions does he need to end the season with for him to be worth it for you?
20. No, okay. I don't know, man. It has to be more than that because realistically, I mean, a good interception season is what, 8? I mean, if you have 8 interceptions, you're the man. So wouldn't be enough for me. But let's say it was 8 interceptions and, you know, several pass defenses on 4th down with the game on the line, or, you know, we needed this play, those kind of things. Don't all have to be turnovers. It just has to be a play in a crucial part of the game, and I'm not seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's go to the penalties and the turnovers, and let's revisit that. New Orleans had 5 penalties for 27 yards. They only got 1 penalty that resulted in a 1st down, while Vegas had 2. But the big stat was 0 turnovers for New Orleans. And ooh, we actually got an interception, so we're +1 for the day. So this was big. It's been a big part of our season, all the turnovers. We're still last in the league in turnovers, but we're slowly righting the ship here.
Because the division is so bad, we could say things like you just said, where it's like, oh, righting the ship. Dude, we're 3-5. If we had a division with a good team and a very good team who was, you know, 5-3, 4-6-2, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But at the end of the day, we are, and I'm okay with it.
Hey, we're sending a big shout out to our new partners over at Sports Talk with Friends. We're going to be teaming up with them to bring you some different personalities and points of view. This season is going to be a lot of fun, so go over to their Facebook group, check them out, Sports Talk with Friends. All right, special teams. We had Will Lux. He missed one kick. And Blake Gillikin, he averaged 40 yards with two punts inside of the 20. So mostly positive there on special teams, right?
So special teams looked solid. I don't like the miss from Lutz was pretty egregious because that would have made it a 4-score game. Right now, they're only down 3 scores with the 2 points. So I'm still nervous that they're going to come back at any moment. It's only being a 3-score game. So I don't like that he's missing, you know, because we had excuses built in early on. It's like, oh, he's rusty. Okay, the blocking is not great. But lately, the hold and the blocking has been good, and he still pushed it, that one. Return game was fine. Nothing special. The coverage units were pretty good. Didn't do a lot of kick returns, which is always nice.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Offense. Let's go to Andy. Dalton Watch here, Dave. 22 of 30, 229, 2 touchdowns. What do we see there from the quarterback?
Okay, so we were having some messages exchanged this morning. Like, this is what we thought we would need in order to be successful, right? Is just a guy that came in, didn't turn the ball over, 3 turnovers last game and a half. And he does everything. I mean, how far is he really away from Breeze's last 3 years, you know, last 2 years? My point is he's not that far away from what Breeze was. Not super mobile, gets rid of the ball quick. He probably has more arm strength than Breeze had at the end of his career.
Yeah.
And so we can win with that. The team is built to win with that. The offensive line, Kamara, and this is what we talked about with Winston. With Winston, forget about if he didn't turn the ball over. His biggest weakness was didn't throw the ball to Kamara. And watch the red rifle, the rouge rifle, hit the ball to Kamara over and over and over for almost 100 yards. That's what makes him successful. And so it makes me really wonder, and that's why I asked y'all that question, if you would take the kid from New England, Jones, for a second-round pick, if you knew that all you would really get is a younger version of Andy Dalton, assuming that the rest of the team was the same. So that's why I asked that question, because to me, you can win like that, assuming the defense plays well and assuming Kamara is healthy.
I honestly wouldn't mind it. A second round pick for a solid quarterback. I mean, he's not going to be outstanding. Yeah. I think
that's solid enough to lose his job to Bailey Zappe. I don't hate Mac Jones. I think I would take him as well. I think a second is a little steep for me. Not because a second is overly valuable. I know a lot of people like to overvalue draft picks. But the Saints specifically have really hit home runs in the second round. Michael Thomas, a second-round pick. Marcus Williams, second-round pick. Alante Taylor, second-round pick. Our center, McCoy, was a second-round pick.
Yeah.
So we tend to really, really hit those. So maybe keep that one. If you get Jones for a third, maybe a third and a fifth, something like that, yeah, I pulled the trigger yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. No way they're trading a quarterback for less than a second.
I'm sitting on the bench. He's worth more to you traded than he is on the bench.
Haven't really watched a lot of New England football, so, you know, and I knew that he was out injured or what have you, and he came back and he played a little bit poorly. Did y'all see that picture that was circulating on the internet that showed that one terrible interception hit the ESPN camera cable?
So ESPN right came out and said that it didn't actually hit the cable, and it was actually 20 feet away from it or something, and that it's a forced perspective kind of thing. So they're claiming it never actually interfered.
So, I mean, I'm kind of saying that was awful. That was awful. And so, yeah, and if it hit the cable, then I'm like, excuse him. My point is more not necessarily that guy. but another guy, just basically a younger version of Andy Dalton. But the key to being successful with a younger version of Andy Dalton is to still have Kamara, still have Michael Thomas, have Olave, have this offensive line. The problem is that going forward, you know, Kamara's not getting any younger, and Thomas, you know, dealing with the injuries, huge contract. You know, I don't know if next year, Kamara shouldn't be anywhere, go anywhere, but, you know, we're going to lose a couple little pieces next year. So I was kind of using that idea of, would you do it if you knew that you were getting the 28-year-old version of Andy Dalton? And there's a part of me that says, yeah, look, I mean, it's effective. I'll take it.
Yep. Yep. I agree with that. Well, let's talk about Kamara, because he went off and he had 3 touchdowns, which I love for my fantasy teams. Okay. Yeah. But 18 rushes, 62 yards, 9 catches, 96 yards. Every time he looked, he was running through the defense. Early in the week, we heard him talk to the team. So there was a lot of leadership being missed because, you know, Drew Brees and people like that out of the building. But he mentioned people always getting on each other, holding everybody to the high expectations. And so he stepped up this week and he did that. And now we have these results.
That'll increase his trade value tomorrow for sure.
Both of you shut up. You shut up with fantasy football and you shut up with these fake ass trade rumors. Both of you mute yourselves. And going with the cap hit and what it would take to get him and what it would do to our team if we lost our best offensive player while only one game back in the division. There's no way it's happening. They've already debunked it. Everyone stop sending me this shit on Instagram and Facebook. Stop it. It's not happening.
Yeah. But man, he's a hell of an offensive weapon just to dump it off to, and he just makes things happen, right, Craig?
It's just so beautiful. I mean, he's the best player on the offense. It's not close. Even when Michael Thomas is back, he's still the best offensive player on the team. It's really fun to see him in space. And that was the biggest thing missing from Winston's game, was getting him the ball in space. And if Dalton can keep, you know, managing the way he's doing and getting those dump offs to Kamara, feeding him the occasional deeper pass to Olave and Shahid, I mean, that's all you need. That's enough to win games. This is enough to win playoff games. The defense plays well. This offense is good enough.
We had 12 touches for Taysom Hill, 10 runs, 1 pass, 1 catch. I mean, we said like 10 to 15, right? So this falls within that range here, Dave.
You know what? Circumstances dictate a lot of this stuff in most games.
Yeah.
But this is a game where a situation works out. And I think maybe this, if the fans could keep this in their head, that when things go the way they should, all these guys do touch the ball as much as that we suggest they do, right? We're always saying Taysom Hill, 15 touches, 15 carries, right? We should get, matter of fact, I'm very disappointed in Shahid. I mean, he touched the ball like 3 times, 0 touchdowns. How is that possible? Because the fan said that, I mean, the guy scores every time he touches the ball and we're not getting him the ball. So You see when things work out, when you go on drives, when you don't go 3 and out, all of a sudden there's more snaps for Taysom Hill at quarterback. When you don't go 3 and out, there's more opportunities for Shahid to be involved in the game plan. And while I'm picking on him, I'm really picking on more of the fans who are just like that our offensive coordinator. I'm not saying he doesn't have his faults or things that we can't criticize him for, but just to think that you're just all of a sudden going to get 10 balls thrown to a rookie undrafted free agent who missed all of training camp. It's just not realistic. But when things go right and Taysom Hill gets his 10 touches, he gets a couple of receptions, and then, you know, Kamara gets ball in space. I mean, he's a great running back. God, every time he takes a carry, I just think, oh, that's, you know, that's 1 month less on his career, right? I'm like, man, throw him the ball, man. He'll play till he's 35.
Yes.
All right, maybe
offense,
exaggerating a little bit, but you get the point.
The offense was 7 of 12 on third down, versus 5 of 14 on third down. We went 2 of 3 in the red zone, and last week we were 3 of 5 in the red zone. So, all improvements on the offense there. I love seeing
that third red zone trip we didn't score on. That was really just trying to grind clock out. If we wanted to score points on that drive, we would have.
Yeah.
We had our foot on their throat ever since the second quarter. That game was never in question. And that one that we didn't score in the red zone, that was basically just trying to play keep away. I'm very impressed with our offensive performance.
Yeah, hats off to P. Carmichael. I think he'd been pretty creative with his offensive calls. I like the design, and I love what Andy Dalton's doing, getting the ball to Kamar. So, Craig, talk to me about the offensive line. Dalton had zero sacks this game.
Okay, so y'all remember weeks one and two where we couldn't pick up a blitz to save our life. Our quarterbacks were constantly on the ground. And we're just thinking, oh, maybe these old linemen aren't good. Maybe all these first-round picks and second-round pick we invested, maybe it's just not working out. We have given up two sacks in the last four games combined. He was not sacked yesterday, and he was barely touched. He had all day to throw when he wanted to. The running lanes were there. The offensive line has sneakily and quietly become the best unit on this team, and it looked like it yesterday. They played really well.
Did you notice anything from Ruiz yesterday?
The best thing you can say about a guard is that you don't notice much, but he's getting into space on when he's asked to pull. He's getting to second level very well. Again, second, third, fourth week in a row, him and McCoy are an excellent duo. And whenever they're asked to double the backer and hit through those A-gaps, our offense is moving the ball very well on the ground through there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Twitter highlights. I will say
that Hurts is getting beat a lot. Hurts keeps getting beat, and it's not that he's not a good player. It's that they know he's the weak point, so they're sending more pressure to that spot. They're intentionally making it harder for him on that side. Having said that, one of the best pass rushers in the game, Crosby, did not sniff a quarterback.
Yeah,
and we game planned it very well to get Hurts some help over there. If Penning comes in and ends up being a good player in the long run, this will be the strength of the team going forward for some years to come.
BS and Beer Media is sponsored by Purple Valley Farms Marijuana. We got that good. Good.
Let's go to the defensive side. And the Saints defense now ranked number 10 in total defense. That's up four spots from last week.
Okay there, Casey Kasem. Up four spots from 10 from last week.
No one under 35 is going to get that reference. I only get it because it's in Ghostbusters. Like, that's the only way even I know what you're talking about.
Well, Ghostbusters, hey.
Long-distance dedication.
This is Halloween. We are recording here, and this defense was pretty scary. So I think we need to recognize the defense, the scariness that is this defense.
They had Derek Carr seeing ghosts all day.
Yes. Four sacks on the day. The run D. We held Josh Jacobs to 43 yards rushing. He was tearing through the freaking league. And we held him down. 38 total yards rushing for Vegas. I mean, listen, hats off to the defense. Dave, talk to me about what you're seeing versus the run here.
You know, that's another perplexing thing. It's like, generally speaking, the personnel hasn't changed. I mentioned last week that I see a lot more too high safety. And so I think our lack of run defense has mainly to do with the injuries in the defensive secondary.
Yeah.
But man, I mean, like, another thing is, I wonder, and I don't have this information, is every time I notice a big run, I look at and it's going off the end where Cam Jordan is usually, and he isn't. And you just don't appreciate how easy Cam Jordan makes the game look until somebody else is in there. And so, I don't know, man, maybe he's taken a few less snaps this year, which is changing a few things. We already identified, you know, maybe some weakness in the middle of the defense, a defensive tackle. But I honestly, that's to me probably the most perplexing thing, is to try to figure out why we can't stop the run all of a sudden. Because even though I mentioned a couple of things, that shouldn't be enough to completely derail an outstanding run defense. to what we've regressed to so far this year. But yeah, it was excellent, man. And again, people, I know Craig mentioned it, oh man, it's just the Raiders, they suck. At the end of the day, it's an NFL team and you throttle them like that. And it's an NFL team with quality players.
Yeah.
So we did something right, which also makes you want to say, well, if we did it versus them, why were we so bad against other teams? So maybe backups should play. Maybe I should have higher expectations for backups. But let's look at who played. Paulson and Debo played one side. And my boy, you know, my new bestie, Alante Taylor. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's early because we've seen guys do something a couple of times. And then, man, he looks like the real deal.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about that secondary because Davante Adams.
Make sure everyone feels real warm and fuzzy about the run defense. They fell behind immediately. Yeah. They were behind from the first quarter onwards, so they stopped running the ball most of that game. So as much as we looked real good when they tried to run it early, there's a reason they ended up with 38 total, and it's not because they were trying to grind the clock out. It's because they were down 17 points by half, and they couldn't run the ball anymore.
Yeah,
I think be happy, be excited, be pumped, but like, grain of salt, guys.
Okay.
Didn't he also, to make your point, Craig, I think he had averaged over 5 yards a carry. So let's not get too overly
excited.
They
got away from the run game more than they got stuffed on it. But I mean, we played better than we had been, so still take something from it.
Well, Jacobs averaged 4 yards a carry.
It led me into a trap. Led me into a trap and the stat guy got me.
4 or 5.
Yeah. It's all the same. All right. Secondary. Davante Adams and Hunter Renfrow combined for 2 catches for 9 yards. I did notice in this game, Honey Badger playing a lot closer to the line of scrimmage. And I don't know, maybe that resulted in this interception or his better play this game. Dave, did you see, notice any of that?
No, I noticed that he played closer too, which is kind of, I don't know what to say about that because my biggest complaint is how he plays against the run, but yet he plays his best defense when he's closer to the line of scrimmage. So, okay. So, you know, sometimes a guy can play really well for one team, then go to another team and get all kind of big money in free agency and not play as well. And it's sometimes circumstances, right? So hypothetically, you know, Teron needs a team that can play the run with the front seven very well so he can play close to the line of scrimmage and make plays. But maybe that's what they thought they would have. And this year, all of a sudden, the front seven's not playing the run as well and then exposes him for his weaknesses in certain areas. So it's just funny how it works sometimes. You could be a great player on one team, go to another team, and just not be very good.
Yeah, I really need to go back and look at him. So I'm looking at his stat line. He's got like 2 passes defended, you know, that interception, the QB hit. I think we're probably sleeping on him a little bit in this past game.
Well, and I want to be clear. Okay, the week prior, too.
Yeah.
I want to be clear that my criticism comes from a body of work. It's not necessarily that he didn't have this game or he played well in this game or not well. But at the end of the day, man, I expect him to be at least a solid player in every game. You know, I mean, he's not going to be great in every game, but I don't expect him to be a liability where you literally are concerned that he's missing tackles that cost you games. That's my concern. He's done that a couple of times. Whether or not you want to blame the entire game on him, but the fact of the matter is you needed a play and he couldn't help you out. I heard a saying, I can't remember who said it, somebody on TV, but it was probably... It hit me more than anything. And if you want to really know who loves you as far as defense goes, who your brother really is, it's how far is the next guy from you when you make a tackle? And it just means populate to the ball.
Yes.
Whoever said that, it just hit me as a different way to say populate, run to the ball. And I was like, dang, that's right, man. If I'm over there struggling and I hit the guy and he's about to run me over, but then here comes Craig and he takes him out, then nobody notices that I got ran over. Yeah.
Yep, that's been the big difference. I think this game, well, it was population to the ball. The secondaries did miss some tackles, but you had guys swarming. And that's what we've seen, you know, previous years with the defense. They're always getting to the ball. Somebody else was always there. So it's good to see that returning to the defense. And maybe that's going to help, you know, with that swagger that everybody, you know, keeps talking about like all week, so...
You know what helped Matthew play closer to the line is that May had a really good game. And if you can have a safety that handles all the deep third and lets your strong safety guy play a little bit closer up, I mean, that fits better into what Matthew's good at anyway. And I think May played really well. He was a little bit rusty coming back against the Cardinals, but he kind of anchored the back end of that secondary very well.
That versatile safety thing, man, I just think this is more of a myth that defense coordinators want, right? Those two safeties, they can just interchange. Listen, some guys are just better at certain things. And
linebackers can be running backs, but you can't let a free safety play strong safety. where are you coming from, man?
Guys do things certain ways and do things better. And I think Honey Badger is better closer to the line here.
Everybody wants a bunch of stuff. You know, everybody wants, I want both my receivers to be able to go deep and be possession receivers. I want all my linemen to be able to run block and pass block, but it don't always work out that way. You can, how's the saying? You can want in one hand and the other and whatever.
See what fills up first, I got you. Let's go to Alante Taylor with the three passes defended this game. And I do want to have the discussion, once Lattimore returns, what do we do with Alante Taylor? Are we shifting him inside or are we keeping him outside? Because he's playing like a beast out there.
I already know what Craig wants.
What's Craig
tell want? Him, Craig.
What does Craig want? Go ahead and spoil it for him.
Craig wants to bench Alante Taylor. That's what he wants to see. Alante Taylor on the bench, not playing and not being part of the team. Practically suspend the guy. For what, Craig? Why would you want to suspend him?
Let me tell you a couple of things about this game that Taylor told me. So looking at this game, he played excellent and shut down Adams. Adams has been on the injury report all week with a severe flu and was dehydrated and wiped out and a shell of himself in this game. Taylor played very well, but Adams is one of the best receivers in the league, and he was not on that game. So, Taylor played really well. I don't want to bench Taylor. Taylor and Adebo are both big physical corners, and they play better on the outside. Neither of them are particularly suited to play in the slot. My thought process, because you can't bench Taylor after playing as well as he has, you can't bench Adebo because he's better than a lot of other options, and you can't bench Lattimore when he comes back because he's the best corner in the damn league, is that you play your big, solid, physical guys on the outside, and you have Lattimore just shadow their best player wherever he goes on the field. You got left, you got right, and you got their best player erased.
So what I'm hearing is suspend Taylor and diminish every accomplishment that Michael Jordan had.
I'm shouting Taylor's
because when you play with lauding him all week, where is this coming from?
Where is this coming? Is it because he played at Tennessee and he beat LSU a couple weeks ago? I don't know what this is coming from.
Hey now.
Now he hates Michael Jordan.
I am a big fan of this guy. All right, so my favorite play that Taylor made the whole week is he makes that play. Adams drops a pass that Taylor is near him, and that counts as a breakup, whatever. Not taking anything away from Taylor, who's in good position. But Adams comes back for the ball, high points it, can't come down with it, spikes it in the ground. And the first guy jumped up off the bench screaming and hollering is Michael Thomas. Everyone who says Michael Thomas is done with this team is absolutely not know what they're talking about. He is coming back. The team will only get better from here.
Yeah, he was super engaged, man. Engaged.
Yeah, you love to see it.
All right, let's talk about these four sacks.
Hey, hold up, do I get my opinion?
Your opinion was ruined when you slandered me about Taylor.
Okay, I just want to add to that. Michael Jordan was indeed a very good player. Okay, don't diminish him like that. Go ahead, please continue.
The listening comprehension of this podcast is just piss poor.
All right, on four sacks, we had Aiyamada with one, Cam Jordan and Street combined for another one, and two sacks provided by Peyton Turner. And this is a great time for the Peyton Turner Report. That's right. That guy
have a
was
sound effect for Peyton Turner now?
That's right. Respect Peyton Turner.
That's amazing.
I've been dialing him all year. He was barely active. He shows up, he's active, and he's got two sacks. Let's put some respect on this man's name.
Man, he shows up and has more sacks than Davenport in one game. It's impressive.
Speaking of Davenport.
Davin report.
Dave, do you have a Davin report?
Hey, man, I think things are shaping up to make me look like a genius.
Okay.
Davenport going to be that left defensive end. Turner's a right defensive end. And just like Michael Jordan, Greg is over there trying to diminish his game because he's been injured a little bit. Flu injured about the same, right? Yeah. Comes back from an injury, two sacks. Look, the reality of this is Turner showed a lot in that one game in Carolina, and we've all been waiting to see that.
Yeah.
And if the guy can stay healthy, he is obviously a good football player. And man, if he can continue to play like this, we keep talking about this. I know how you guys loved my analogy of the 10 game season. If he plays like this the rest of the season, you're talking about bringing an element to the pass rush that, I mean, all these little things, Lattimore coming back, Turner playing, hopefully, obviously playing that well, bodes well for being able to get, because I mean, where do you feel we have to be to get in the playoffs? I mean, like, do you think 8 wins gets us in the playoffs? Or do we have to hit 9?
I think 9 for sure. I think you probably get in with 8. Buccaneers are not getting any better.
Considering that we're playing the other teams in our division,
right?
The fact is that, you know, I don't see Atlanta going on a run to get to 9 or 10 games. I don't see I'm surprised that the Buccaneers have held it together. And after what I saw from Carolina, they'll just give you the games. I don't know if they're even going to show up anymore. They just like literally send you a postcard and say, you win. We're going to go get something to eat. I mean, I don't know. It was, my God.
Yeah.
I can't believe that game ended the way it did. They beat them on a Hail Mary and they still didn't win. Unbelievable. Way to fail us the one time we want you to win, Carolina. The one time we're in your corner and you let us down multiple times. You kick an extra point, you win. You kick a 28-yard field goal and you win. You score in overtime and you win. We were almost so far. 3-4.
And I don't know if he makes it anyway, but the idea that the receiver Moore, I believe, rips his helmet off. And I saw that and I'm just like, you know, man. And I thought to myself after he did, I'm like, it doesn't matter. But why? Why can't? Because he wants to show his mug and some around his chest. Like, at the end of the day, celebrate with your teammates and pull your helmet off after the game. It just drives me crazy.
That's the biggest play of his career. Right? That's a huge play. He caught a Hail Mary in what would have been the game-winning play. It was amazing. It was exciting. Let the guys play. What are these old curmudgeon people? Oh, it's just act like you've been there before. Shut up. These kids are having fun.
Okay, stop it. So then if we do what you say after, you see what they do after they make a tackle for a 1 yard gain, they get up and they do a dance. You would have guys literally run into the sideline and they put the spotlights on them. They rip their helmet off and they'd strike a pose. I mean, I'm not trying to get into all to that nonsense. And I don't disagree with you. Like, after the touchdown, you go running off. As long as you don't come back on the field or whatever and do some type of demonstration, I don't care. But I know that's why they do it. It's just because literally guys, they'd be one up in each other. Like, I mean, they barely keep their helmet on, you know. They'd wait right before the snap and they'd buckle up, you know. So I'm okay with it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It's the rules. Keep your damn helmet on so that Carolina can win. And we're going to bet, again, Craig pulling against the Saints. Jeez and crackers, man.
Unbelievable, this guy.
Unbelievable.
All right, let's wrap up the defense with Pete Werner with 11 tackles. And he helped make that interception, too. So, good game
by dropping an interception, he helped make an interception.
Hey, he helped make it.
He didn't tip a pass. He tipped it. He hit an interception in both of his hands, and he freaking... cement glove just dropped it. You're lucky it got tipped up and intercepted because he had a pick in both of his hands and just couldn't make the damn play.
Good job, Pete. Good job.
BS and Beer Podcast. Breaking opinions on yesterday's news.
All right. Let's go over to our pick 'em And we got a big change in the pick'em there with the Hollywood Houdan moving up to number one and your host Dale dropping, tumbling down the standings. Tied with number three with Dave. What's up with that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And of course, scrolling down, Craig.
Yeah, sorry about
it. He's all the way down there. So yeah.
So as a right, and the rights are currently in first place in this league, I will go ahead and take my victory lap right now. Because I taught him everything he knows about football.
Terrible. Terrible. Let's pick some games. We got Tampa Bay, a 2.5 point road favorite at Los Angeles Rams here. Craig, who you got with this one?
Rams. At the Rams. The Rams just had a tough loss.
Tampa Bay's
a
favorite in LA?
Yes. Have you watched the Rams?
Vegas are on their knees for Tom Brady at all times. You have to understand that and just bet accordingly. I got the Rams. The offensive line is real bad for Tampa Bay. It's not getting any better. Tristan Wirfs is very good, but Tristan Wirfs does not play anywhere near the inside where Aaron Donald lives. The Rams rebound from their ugly loss to the Niners.
Yes.
They do enough to beat a struggling, reeling, about to lose 4 in a row Buccaneers team. Give me the Rams. I more than a touchdown.
All right, Dave, what about you?
Yeah, man, Darnold's going to eat them up. I don't know. I still think you have it backwards that they're 2 point dog. But yeah, the Rams, I watched them play and they didn't play very well against the 49ers, but they're going to take the Bucs out.
Okay. Let's see. I am going to go with the Bucs. I just don't trust the Rams here. So
you trust the Bucs?
You got to pick one of them. So let's look at the LA Chargers, 3 point favorite at Atlanta. Craig, who you got with this one?
As the former gummy bear of the candy corn, Arnold Schwarzenegger once told me that the Chargers go, Chargers go.
Yeah, man, Chargers are going to bolt up. Let's do this. I'm all for it. They've been struggling a little bit. They're finding their rhythm offensively. Big Nate from the Big Uglies podcast is a diehard Chargers fan. He's telling me they're coming around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Chargers by a bunch. This is the go. Second straight NFC South team going down in these pick'ems. Give me the Chargers.
All right, Dave.
I want the Chargers to win. I think they will win. But I don't want them to win by too much. I want them to win by some kind of accident, because you got to keep in mind, we got to keep them there about 500, maybe a little below 500, where they underachieve and they send us a buttload of picks for Sean Payton. So I'm going to go with the narrow victory by the Chargers.
Okay. Dave is trying to plan out that first round pick there. Okay. I got it. Wow. I know you. All right, I'm going to roll with the Chargers minus the 3 here. Carolina. Sweet. Carolina at Cincinnati. Cincinnati is an 8.5 point favorite. Dave, what you got here?
Carolina mail-in votes their loss to whoever you said they're playing. And actually, you know what's funny, man?
Dave's Bengals.
That quarterback, I don't even know his name. He actually looked pretty good. I mean, I watched the whole second half of that game. Yeah, and he's making plays, man.
Yeah, yeah. It took a lot of guts to
against
keep
the
him
Falcons
as a
defense. Making plays against the Falcons defense, guys.
Yeah, hey. Good point. But either way, man, he made plays, and I don't know, man. He looked decent. I mean, I don't know what he's going to look like against an actual NFL defense, but, I can't see Carolina. They have so many problems going on right now.
Right.
You got to almost give them some credit for hanging in.
Yeah. Yeah. They should have won this last game, but they didn't. All right, Craig, what you got here?
Okay. I got your Cincinnati Bengals. I know how much you love the Bengals and you love your LSU players on the Bengals, even though Chase is hurt. Bengals started real slow. They're gelling a little bit. Their O-line's not as bad as it was early. And they're looking pretty good. Panthers have shown they don't actually want to win games, so why would they do it now? The NFC South, aside from us, goes 0-3. Give me the Bengals.
All right, screw it. Let's roll with the Bengals myself, too. Let's do this. Now let's look at the big game, Baltimore versus the Saints.
Monday night.
Monday night football, for sure. Let's do this. Mm. Baltimore is coming in +6 in turnovers. The offense ranked 11 in total yards. But Mark Andrews left the game with shoulder injury. He's going to be iffy for the game coming up.
I'll be back.
The defense for Baltimore, they're ranked 24. So, hey, we can do this, but hey. this is one of those mobile quarterbacks that we're afraid of, Craig.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. All right, so we can't stop a running quarterback. Lamar Jackson is the best running quarterback. He is, mm-hmm. If you have a running quarterback in the dictionary, it is a picture of him scoring multiple touchdowns. So that's going to be tough. Our defense is not built to stop him. We played very well against the kind of team we're built to beat last week. So I think that our defense is going to struggle. I don't think we're going to shut them down. I think they're going to score 20, 30 points. Like, it happens. But that defense is bad.
Yeah.
And we might get a receiver back even if we don't. Are running the ball really good. Kamara is healthy. Our O-line is playing really well. I think we can outscore them. The NFC South is going to go 0-3 on Sunday. We're going to be sitting there at home waiting for Monday Night Football with the win to take back at least a share of first place in the division, and it's going to happen. Mm. Saints win.
Okay. All right, Dave. Well, the Saints offense ranked number 5 right now, but, you know, Baltimore ranked number 24 in total defense. You think we're going to be able to move the ball here, Dave?
But here's the thing. Baltimore is sitting over there. They have a podcast and they're talking about how our defense is not built to stop an Andy Dalton led offense. That's what they're thinking right now. That number 5 ranked New Orleans Saints offense led by Andy Dalton. If I didn't mention that a couple of seconds ago, but I think that what will the Saints do differently than what they normally do? To try to switch it up a little bit, change it up a little bit,
yes,
and affect their quarterback play, improve our game versus a running quarterback. What I think is, I have no idea.
Yes.
So I'll tell you what I think about it Monday, the Tuesday night or whatever
after the when game. We report.
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do differently, but I have to believe that they're like, look, we tried what we think works best. Let's try the other thing. Like, let's do the fan thing. We're like, whatever you did, do the other thing. It should work.
That's right.
And we're about to find out. But I'm going to go with, I don't know, man. I'm thinking Baltimore just because it's the logical thing to say. And I picked against the Saints last week and they won. Yeah. So,
right.
I'm going Baltimore.
Okay. Well, the line is Baltimore -3 at New Orleans. Does that change any of your views? No.
Okay. Is stupid.
All right. Well, I too picked New Orleans last week and they proved me wrong. I appreciate that.
Picked the Raiders last week.
Yeah.
And the Saints proved you wrong. You just said, man, you are contradiction. You know,
I picked against New Orleans and I was wrong. Yeah. I picked against New Orleans.
Yes. You said you picked the. Oh, man, you're the worst.
Okay. So this week, I am going to pick Baltimore. -3.
Oh, there's a ghost in here. Did you hear that booing? I think that's a ghost. Boo.
There you go.
Boo, both of you. Boo. Everybody, remember, I am the one who keeps picking the Saints. All right. So we won last week. I was the only one who picked us. I'm the only one picking us this week. Let's go take back part of first place this week. Who dat?
Who dat?
You're going to have to hit a like mute button or something there, Dale. Something. All right. Well, I think if it isn't all the show we have for you this week, it should be. So thank you all for listening. For Dale Mims, Greg Wright, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast crew. And we'll talk to you after the Saints jump into that first spot next week.
Who that?
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs and beer@icloud.com.